Hello and welcome to this very special episode of Please Explain. It is June 4th, it is almost 2:30 and we are waiting for the Reserve Bank to make its announcement on interest rates. With me today for this podcast is Ross Gittins, Economics Editor. Hi Ross.
Hi Jess.
How excited are you?
Oh, I'm super excited. I can't wait.
I'm super excited. It's been a while between drinks for us economics writers and editors waiting for the Reserve Bank to do something. They haven't done anything for 33 months. I'm about to click refresh on the screen and see what they've decided to do. There we go. Oh, well, that was kind of what we expected, which is the cash rate has gone down by a quarter of a percentage point to 1.25 from 1.5%. We've got the statement from Phil Lowe, Governor of the Reserve Bank. We are eagerly clicking through that, which just says, you know, at its meeting today, the board has decided to lower the cash rate. This is what everyone was expecting, Ross. Here we go. At the end, it's always where the good bits are. It will help make further inroads into the spare capacity in the economy. It will assist with faster progress in reducing unemployment and achieve more assured progress towards the inflation target. So the board will continue to monitor developments in the labour market clearly, closely, and adjust monetary policy to support sustainable growth in the economy and the achievement of the inflation target over time. So Ross, as expected, I guess, do you welcome this interest rate cut, or is this sort of a sign that the Reserve Bank can see clouds on the horizon and the Reserve Bank might even think, hey, we're heading into a recession, it's time to act?
Well, I do welcome it. I think it would have been even better if we had it a month earlier, when I think it's pretty clear the Reserve Bank decided then during the election campaign that it needed to act. But as to whether it's acting because it thinks we're about to be hit by a recession, I don't think that's the right interpretation. We don't have a recession sort of looming, about to overtake us, swamp the boat. It's true that we haven't had a recession for 28 years, that we've got to have another one someday, and one day we will. There's no doubt about that. But I just don't see it looming on the horizon right now. Yeah. I think the real thing is, although the Reserve Bank in its statement tried to put the best gloss on it, which is, oh, we've made all this progress getting unemployment down and we're going to cut rates and we'll get it down a bit further, they're really worried about the economy slowing down. So you can think of all the bad things that might happen in the rest of the world, including trade wars and things that could have an effect, an adverse effect on us. You can think of all those things. But in fact, you don't have to go outside Australia's shores to find a big enough reason for the Reserve Bank to be wanting to cut rates. We've got enough problems inside the economy. And the problem is simply that the economy is running out of steam. It's slowing down. And that doesn't mean it's about to fall over the edge. It just means that it's gone from being in a high gear to being in second or maybe even first. It's just grinding along. And I think until something from the rest of the world hits us on the head, the prospects are for it to keep just grinding along, getting slower, until somebody does something to cause it to speed up. And that will be the Reserve Bank or the government or even employers deciding that it was about time they gave their workers a decent pay rise. For example, just hinting, just a suggestion that popped into my mind.
In lieu of that not actually happening very much out there, that's what we've got today is the rate cuts. People will ask, what is the point? Rates are already so low, they're at record lows. How much confidence can we have that this will have any impact? You know, if people don't want to borrow because the housing market's just the bottom's fallen out of it, it's not going to encourage people to borrow too much more. I guess it puts a little bit more cash in the pockets of people who have mortgages. But how confident are you that this will actually do anything to lift activity in the economy?
I'm confident that it will help. The Reserve Bank gives a big hint that there's more to come. It doesn't actually say it, but gives a big hint. And so it won't just be a quarter of a percent. Before a month or two has passed, it's likely to be a half a percent. That's bigger. But I'm confident that it will have an effect. I'm not confident that it will be a big effect, because it's not so much because interest rates are already so low. That's part of the story. But really because the circumstances of our households in particular are such that cutting interest rates isn't going to prompt people to rush out and borrow a lot of money so that they can spend it, which is what the main mechanism of monetary policy, of interest rates, is. Cut the cost of borrowing, so people borrow more, then they spend it. It's actually the spending that boosts the economy. That's all very well. The trouble is that Australians' households have got record levels of debt. Now, that's not credit card debt, it's housing debt. But it means that there aren't too many households out there saying, oh, they've cut rates a bit, that means I can borrow more. At this stage of the game, most households are thinking, how can we get the debt down a bit? And that's actually one of the reasons why it won't have much effect. In theory, everybody with a mortgage is now paying less. In practice, people often don't reduce their payment rates. They leave them where they are, which means that more of it goes into reducing the principal, less of it goes into paying the interest, and so they pay off their debt a bit faster. There is a lot of households out there who like the sound of that much more than they like the sound of, this is the time to go out and buy a new lounge suite.
And I guess we should have just take a little moment of commemoration and a commiseration to all the savers out there and all the people with money on deposit who will get less of a return now on their money.
Well, that's true. And this is a point that always gets missed. A cut in official interest rates is good news for borrowers. It's bad news for lenders, otherwise known as savers. They get less. So there's no reason why they should be increasing their spending. If anything, they'll increase it, they'll cut it a fraction. But that doesn't stop the Reserve Bank playing this game, simply because there are more people. The borrowers outnumber the savers.
It's the net effect, yeah.
And the net effect is one that should be a positive. The other thing to remember, and I think this is a point that doesn't hit people's personal budgets as strongly, but I think is an important one from the point of view of the overall economy. This can be expected to cause our dollar to go down a bit. And now that's bad news for anyone who's saving for an overseas holiday. But it's bad news for them, but it's good news for the economy. It means that some of them won't be going on the overseas holiday. They'll have to spend their holiday money inside our economy, not outside it, which is part of the mechanism that says a lower dollar makes the economy grow faster. The other benefit of a lower dollar is that it increases the attractiveness of the exports that we sell.
Now, this could all be undone if the commercial banks don't decide to pass on the full 25 basis point cut to borrowers. What's going to happen there if the banks just don't do it?
Well, I'd be surprised if the banks don't do it. If after all the bad publicity they got in the Royal Commission, if after all the legal evidence that says you are just the big bastards I always thought you were, if after all of that they say now's the time to take a bite out of everyone's rate cut, I'd be surprised. I'd also be surprised, since I read that the Treasurer has been personally round to all the big four banks saying you won't keep any of it, will you? Now, I think it'll happen, but I think it'll be flowed through fairly quickly. The banks would be losing their political touch if that doesn't happen. But should it not happen, should the banks decide they're going to save a little, not pass it all on, not pass on the 25, we'll just pass on, I don't know, 20, 15, should that happen, then the Reserve Bank, that just increases the likelihood that the Reserve Bank will cut interest rates again, because what the Reserve Bank is trying to achieve is lower interest rates for real live people out there in the economy, whether they're consumers or they're businesses. It's not the official interest rate is just a step in the path to the people who really matter, and they are the people who are making real decisions in the real economy.
So don't worry if for some reason the banks were to keep a little bit of it, the Reserve Bank will make sure that you're paying exactly the interest rate that they want you to pay by lowering it further in the future. How many more cuts do you reckon we'll get from here?
I think that will depend very much on the information that we get tomorrow on Wednesday morning, when purely by chance the Bureau of Statistics is about to release what's called the National Accounts, and they will show us how the economy grew in the first 3 months of this year. We got all the information up to the end of last year. Now we're about to get another quarter's information. If they confirm the story of the previous six months that say, gosh, it's really slowed down, then we'll get more cuts. If we have a bit of good luck, if you might call it, and say, well, actually, the economy grew reasonably well in the March quarter, then the Reserve Bank will be more relaxed and it will cut less.
How likely do you think it is history will judge that it was not the right call to have left interest rates unchanged for so long, that we did actually enter a slowdown? The Reserve Bank was looking not at the growth figures but at the jobs figures and sort of got some false reads or some false hope that the job market was holding up, so we didn't have to do much. But today is basically the recognition that there is still work to be done. Do you think history will judge Phil Lowe for not acting sooner?
I think a lot, since there is so much wisdom after the event, and I don't exempt the media from that criticism, or even my own good self. That's quite likely people will be saying that, but if they press it too hard, they'll be forgetting one thing, and that is the big property boom in Sydney and Melbourne that ran on for some years. There is one of the reasons why the Reserve Bank was not cutting earlier was because it didn't want to do anything that would make that bubble any bigger than it was going to be. And in fact, one of the reasons why it's now a lot more relaxed about cutting is that it doesn't have to worry about the housing boom. It's turned into a sort of bust, not a dramatic bust, but certainly a downswing. And this rate increase is not likely to turn it around and cause it to take off again. It might slow down the fall. It might, I think, could help house prices find a bit of a floor at where they stay for some years. This is the pattern, long-standing pattern of how house prices work in Australia, that they go nowhere for a protracted period. That's quite likely. And so what that means is that the Reserve Bank is cutting rates now, confident that it won't cause the housing boom to take off again.
Yeah. Seems like a bit of a conspiracy where I'm sitting here. Just as prices were starting to fall and looking rather attractive and cheap, or not cheap, but more affordable for first home buyers, we've had this regulatory response. We've got interest rates going down. We've had the prudential regulators saying, oh, all those clamps that we were going to put down borrowing, we'll loosen those up. It was sort of seems to be inevitable in Australia that if house prices are going to fall too much, don't worry. The Reserve Bank and the rest of the regulators will save you.
Yes.
You being the homeowner,
yes.
Not the people who kind of wouldn't mind if property was a bit cheaper.
I'd like to see house prices fall a lot further, but I'd like to see them fall in a slow but steady way that went on for quite some years. So it lowered the price of houses especially for people trying to get into the market.
Relative to incomes, yeah.
But yes, yeah. But didn't actually scare the pants off people.
Yes.
One of the reasons why... The trouble is that markets run on emotions, on sentiments. They don't run on rational logic. That's why they go up so high, and it can be why they can fall very precipitately. The beauty of the housing market, though, as opposed to the share market, is that one reason why house prices don't fall out of the sky is because people live in their houses. You don't live in your shares. You can make a decision that you want out. But when it comes to housing, it's an inconvenient business to sell your house. So you don't do it lightly.
Yeah. There seems to be some reassuring words in the statement from Phil Lowe to saying that the rate of price declines has slowed in the property market and that auction clearance rates have increased. So maybe a bit of a ending of that big slide. We've seen sort of 15% come off the price of homes in Sydney.
Which ain't a lot when you can
see.
There were a couple of years where it went up by 15%.
Yeah, exactly. So we're reversing that. Now, I did want to just ask you a sort of a nerdy question, and this term that people are going to hear a lot more about, and maybe be it sounds a little bit scary. With the decision that we've got today cutting our cash rate to 1.25, we've now got the cash rate below the rate of inflation of 1.3, and that's a situation that we can describe as negative real interest rates. That sounds scary, Ross. What does that mean?
It's very strange. It's not the way the world is meant to work. When I lend you some money, I expect a return for the use of my money, even though you've got to repay it to me. And that's the real interest rate. You will also have to compensate me for the fact that I lent you a dollar, and because of inflation, when you pay me back in 5 years or 10 years or wherever, you'll be paying me back in, by comparison with the dollars I lent you, dollars that buy a lot less than a dollar. So that's the reason why interest rates have to, the first thing they have to do is compensate the lender for the inflation that occurs while you're using their money. And then you have to rent the money. Yeah. You pay for the actual use of the money before you hand it back. Now, so it's very strange to have a situation. See, if you've got a situation where real interest rates are negative, they've got a minus sign in front of them. That is, the nominal interest rate doesn't even cover the inflation rate. Then that's a situation where the lender is paying the borrower to borrow my money.
That's strange.
That is very strange. It's very unusual. And it's not a good sign. It's not the way. If you want a nice, healthy, growing economy with lots of jobs, what you don't want is negative interest rates. So that's all, I think, part of the new world that we've moved into, the new normal. Before the GFC, nobody was ever talking about negative real interest rates. Now they are apparent. They're particularly apparent when you talk about when the government borrows money, because people are paying negative rates there. So that's a bit worrying, and it's a sign that, as I like to say, very strange things are happening in the economy.
Although I guess to note, we're still at the point of negative real interest rates. We're not at the point of negative interest rates, which sounds even weirder still, but it is something that has happened in other countries where we've gone beyond sort of the lower zero bound. It sounds like Star Wars or something. We've gone beyond the lower zero bound and the actual negative interest rates. How likely?
To negativity and beyond.
How likely are we to make that voyage ourselves?
I don't think we are. I mean, it is true that there are places in Europe where if you say to a bank, I wonder if you'd mind holding my savings in your bank, the bank says, no, we wouldn't mind, and it'll only cost you a very modest interest rate. Now, normal people shouldn't find it hard to believe that you can't go very far down that track. If you do, people say, I've got a good idea. I won't put my money in a bank account. I'll keep it under the bed.
Mm.
Because it's cheaper.
Yeah, and that's negative interest rates. That's real strange territory. What is the likelihood that we'll have to do printing money or quantitative easing or, you know?
It's possible, but I think it's not the right answer. The people in the financial markets are focused on what they call monetary policy, the Reserve Bank's interest rates, and they know, this from what's happened in America and Britain and Europe, that and Japan for that matter, that when you get interest rates down to zero, then the central bank can just print money. Actually, they don't print money; they just deposit it in people's bank accounts or banks' bank accounts. But I think our Reserve Bank will be very, very reluctant to play that game. And before we get to that point, we'll get to a much more conventional point, which is to say to the government, the economy is very weak. Why are you aiming to run a budget surplus? Why are you aiming to take more money out of the economy than you put back in? Why do you think now is a good idea, good time to be doing that? And that's the best answer. The best answer is that the government should be using its budget to help push up the economy, not that we get to these unorthodox things like banks printing money.
But that's a bit Keynesian, isn't it? That we're trying to count, you know, using fiscal policy to manage the cycle.
Where I come from, Keynes is the great economist of the 20th century. He's not a swear word.
I believe in it in theory, but I do doubt the ability of politicians to implement Keynesian, you know, philosophies with much discipline.
You will find different. These guys are hoping to be re-elected. Mm. If they think that while unemployment is rising, they're going to get big cheers for running big budget surpluses, they'll soon find out different.
Yeah, they're already giving us tax cuts, some in the never never, but there's tax cuts, I guess.
Tax cuts will help.
Yeah.
I approve of the first strand of the tax cuts because they go to ordinary people, to middle income earners, and they take the place of the wage rises that so many people aren't getting. But they're only a temporary one-off substitute. The real answer, which is we've got to get the economy growing properly, and a big part of that is to get real wages growing. That is, get growth in wages that's a bit faster than prices. That's actually the payoff for ordinary people living in a capitalist economy. That's what they're meant to get out of it, a rising material standard of living. When the economy is no longer delivering that, then they are entitled to say to all the big guys and all the economists and smarties, what's gone wrong and why haven't you fixed it?
Well, we've had a little bit of relief today with some interest rate cuts, but the probably needs to be more to come, but I think it's pretty clear interest rates and the economy just got interesting again. Plenty
sure
more
did.
To talk about. Thanks very much, Ross.
My pleasure.